Father, we thank you once again for everything that's been gone forth, oh God, the word, the testimony, Minister David speaking a little word and giving a power word, and all of me, Dean, John, Portia, everybody that's testified. Man, we thank you, Lord. We thank you. You know, and most of all, God, I thank you for just still dealing with us, oh God, because you could have given up on us. Many times we give up on you. You could have given up on us, but you chose not to. You chose us to be here in this hour during this time of the pandemic. And I don't even like to talk about that because I know you're so greater. The question is today, God, is that, you know, if my people were to call by my name, if we would humble ourselves down and we begin to start praying more, we can change this thing. We can stop this plague. We have the power to do so. In Jesus' name, thank you for being able to stand before your people this morning, oh God, and bring forth the word that you have imputed in my spirit. I know you did. I know you did because I felt you this morning when you spoke to me, when you touched me this morning and just told me to just start writing. Thank you this morning, oh God, for everything. Thank you for every listener this morning, including myself, oh God. Humble me, oh God, that I was just, you would just use me to the utmost today, God. I don't know what you're going to do. But you already know. We thank you. Set this place on fire. Every home, oh God. Every telephone, oh God. Hallelujah. Everyone that's listening and viewing this right now in the name of Jesus. God, we just thank you now. Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right. Well, let me see. I'll probably have to put these things on. I'm going to read. I got my Dates Bible. I have to go back and get this thing because I read out of the other Bible. We got the Divorce Bible. This is my King James Version Bible, and I know you got going through your book, but I'm gonna give you scripture so you can go ahead and find it in your voice. All right, because I didn't write no. The page number down. Okay? So these are my scriptures for today. It's 1 John 1:7. That's one. Okay? All right. Acts 2:1-4. Acts 2:44. I think I might do this to Philemon. Philemon, I know no one said, who is Philemon? The first chapter in verse 6, okay? And then I want you to just take note of Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 25. All right, Ephesians 4:1-3. Ephesians 5:21. All right, Malachi 3:16. So 3:16-17 verses. All right. Let's see. All right. Colossians 3:16. 1 Corinthians 10:17. 1 Corinthians 12:26-27. Romans 12:15. 2 Corinthians 9:12-14. And wrapping it up with 2 Corinthians 1:11. Ephesians 6:18. And Hebrews 13:3. Now, am I going to read all these scriptures? No. But I just give you those because these reference different things that I'm going to be talking about today. And again, I thank God every time I have an opportunity to stand before you, you know. It's not really easy to stand here and talk about what you believe that the Lord has given and put in your heart to say, because many times, no matter how long we've been doing this, and I've been doing it for a long time, it still feels the same way. Always feel almost like the first time. It always feel like it's just the first time. And I know it's not the first time, but sometimes it feels that way. And maybe that's just the way God wants us to feel sometimes, so that way we won't get the big head. Y'all know what I'm talking about? But sometimes we think that, oh yeah, we know Jesus so good. You see the way those folks, man, they were jumping up and down. They were hollering and carrying on. Yeah, did you see? You didn't do anything. You didn't do what? It was the Holy Spirit that did that. You get up here and then he can shut you down. And you stand up here. Because I remember one time I did that. I was down in Alabama. And this is funny too, because I studied and I studied and I studied. And I did all this stuff in Afghanistan. When I got up here, I got up there to speak. Everything that I got ready to say, God shut my mouth. I couldn't say nothing. It wasn't that I did anything wrong or anything, because I fasted. You know, because back in the day, we used to fast like 3 days before we even preached a message. We prepared 3 days of fasting before he did that. David can tell you that. We fasted before we came before you guys, before we came before, you know, the throne of God. We fasted like 3 days, you know, so we could be prepared. And I got up there and I got this. Open my mouth, and nothing could come out. I'm looking at my notes, and I couldn't say a word, you know. And I mean, I never thought that I could speak all that good. Anyway, Donna could always speak better than me back then. And I'm like, I just couldn't. They would always tell me, they said, Brother Gray, you know what? Because they never called me Brother Jesse. They would call me, by, you know, down south, they called you by your last name. Brother Gray, it's going to be okay. One day you'll be able to speak like Sister Donna. They used to tell me that all the time. You know, but I found out that God will speak to you, God will use you, and you allow God to use you. I'm just saying this to help somebody. I know somebody probably needed to hear that. But yeah, God spoke, he shut me down, and I couldn't do nothing. You know what I did? I read a scripture, and then I sung some congregational songs, and folks got happy, people got blessed, and we went home. And that was it. You know, being led by the Holy Spirit. And that's all I'm saying. Just be led by the Holy Spirit when you get up here and pray without ceasing. And then verse 7 says in 1 John 1, it says, but this is the King James, and you have a different version. All right. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ. And the blood of Jesus Christ, it cleanses us from all sins. Okay, 7, it says, but if we walk in the light, not in the dark, as he is in the light, talking about Jesus, and I'm going to be talking about fellowship with believers, you know. This is fellowship with believers. If we want to walk with believers that's in the light, we want to walk with people that's already upright and stuff like that. Not saying that we want to reframe ourselves with people that are not of Christ, you know, but you still have to be careful, because if you associate yourself with them, you can fall into that category. Because I've been there before. Y'all know what I'm saying? I don't want nobody to raise their hand, but you want to keep me. All right, listen. And it says, and the blood of Jesus Christ and his son cleanses us from all sin. It cleanses us from all sin. That's what it does. The blood of Jesus cleanses us. It changes us. And many times we think that change is supposed to come instantly. I know when I first came to the church, man, I just knew that this transformation was going to take place, and all of a sudden things would be different. It would really be different. I mean, we are instantly, but I found out that it's a process that you go through before things change, okay? Before change things. Things change. It's a process. It takes time for things to change, okay? All right. So, and John was telling you, you got to walk in the light. You got to walk in the light. We have to get to the place where we guys can't be walking in the darkness. And if you read the scriptures prior to this, in front of this, it will tell you that about not walking in darkness, but walking in light. Walking in light, the beautiful light. Y'all heard you know that song? Alright. Okay. Now, I'm going to go to Acts, the second chapter. And read verse 1 through 4. Okay. Alright. And everybody knows, I mean, if you go back, you can read the book of Acts and you can get into this thing. This is, and it's so crazy what was happening here. You know, Jesus did some things in reference to fellowshipping. And I think when you talk about Jesus talking about fellowship, and I think the ultimate role that he played in fellowship was that he proved, he said, look, come on, you know how he did. He said, look, come on, follow me. He always tell people, follow me, you're going to be good. He served people. And fellowship, when we fellowshipping, we are serving one another. Y'all hear me? We're with one another. We're serving one another. We're partaking, or we just doing some things that, you know, other than just eating. Everybody think that when you fellowship, you just eating. Fellowship is just eating. It's just not eating. It's just not eating. Amen. All right. So here we go. Here we go. In the second chapter, and everybody know this, it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place on the day of Pentecost. Now, Jesus, prior to this, Jesus had told them that, look, I need for y'all to do something. And we talked about this, and we have preached about this, and we have taught about it down through the year, about the day of Pentecost, what happened. They went up in the upper room, boom, boom, boom. But, you know, prior to that, Jesus was getting them to a place where they could get to the point where they were at one mind, they were in one place, and with the one mind, they were with one accord. And I think that what I see is that we have to get to the place where we become one. The Bible states that when we become one, we can move things. We can make things happen when we become one. The Bible states that one can put 1,000 in flight, but two can put 10,000. It's like 2,000. So if Portia and I get to pray and get to come together in fellowship, we can change some things. Now, if we come in on with us on one of, and we all three of us with one accord, and I'm using them because they're right here in my front. If all three of us are with one accord, do you imagine the things that we can do for the kingdom? See, everything else doesn't matter. You can get a mansion. You can. God can bless me with a Bentley. I like a Bentley, but I'd rather have a Tesla. That's my car, the Tesla. But still, none of that means anything. If I'm not walking in the way that God wants me to walk, if I'm not in divine fellowship with my sister or my brother, then I'm failing in being walking in the light like Christ wanted me to walk. I mean, I see the church saying, amen, pastor, you know. But this is the thing that God, that Jesus was saying, look, I need for you to get to the place where you're going to be with one accord. When you get to this place being with one accord, when you can fellowship with believers, when we can come together as believers, true believers, because everybody in church is not a believer. Hello, somebody. They believe what they want to believe. You can believe today that I'm saved. You be saved. You can get saved, because you only get saved one time according to what? I think that's what they say. You can only get saved, but you can repent a bunch of times. You go back, forgive me for what I've done. If you only can accept them, like water baptism, we get baptized. I got baptized a whole bunch of times. The first time I got water baptized, I got sick because I didn't know what was going on. I dumped in the water. They dumped me in the water. I came up, and it was cold in the church. And next thing you know, I got something like flu. Monday, I was sick. I just did what my mama told me to do. I got baptized with no knowledge. Okay? But here it is. We've come to a point now where we are knowledgeable of so many different things that God has given us easy. Like he told them, go there. Jesus said, look, go now. He said, I want you to go. He said, when the day of Pentecost comes, you're going to be with one accord. And then it says in verse 2, it says, and suddenly there came a sound. And sometimes, I think it's always a sound. When I woke up this morning, it was a sound that I heard. You know, it wasn't that he touched me on my back, you know, but I heard a sound. I heard him call my name, you know. And then a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the house. It filled the room. You know, we experienced different things like this because we were with one accord. I'm talking about fellowshipping with believers. It's something powerful that happens when you believers come together. You know, other than just eating, going to corral, we sit down and eat buffet and get happy and just laughing and joking and all that good stuff. It's okay. But it's something different when we can come together and we can be with one accord, like sister was saying about praying for her co-worker, praying for her patient, you know, and we know that we can come together in fellowship and we can God can touch that woman's body, and whatever is going on, the bleeding and all the stuff that's going on in her body will cease. I was sharing with somebody not too many days ago of what happened here when my mama came in here. All my aunts, my grandma, they died from breast cancer practically. You know, my aunt, sorry, I love her so much. My grandma, Lucille, I love her so much. You know, but and almost took my mama out. But we prayed for her. She had a lump. They cut her on her chest, on her breast. But we prayed for her. We prayed for her, and God took and healed her that night. Came in and opened that wound and pushed all that cancer out of her body. But it was because, you know, we came together as believers, you know, and we joined in together, and we made it happen. We made it happen. We talked to God, and God came on in and did exactly what he said. He said, anything that we do it in Jesus' name. He said, we will be blessed. Hello, somebody. So I think we possibly might be calling the wrong name. Don't call Jess. I can only pray with you. But you got to get to the place where you can call on Jesus. You can call on the Father. You know, and then the thing about it is, he said, this upper room experience, and I think this is, for as far as fellowshipping with believers, I think this is one of the most positive things in where it comes down to viewpoints on fellowshipping. And he says, there appeared upon them glowing fire, glowing tongues of fire, like as a fire, they fell upon and set upon each of them. It sat upon them. I don't know if it was on the head. Some say it was on the head. Some say it was on the shoulder. But no matter where it was at, it came from heaven. And it landed on them because they were in fellowship. Believers, all believers in fellowship. Everybody was with one accord. You know, they've been fasting. They ain't had that much to eat. It didn't matter. Maybe they did have a lot to eat. Maybe they were sitting down there like we were doing like yesterday. I mean, Thursday on Thanksgiving, sitting down there eating, drinking, and being merry. You know? And just enjoying what I know. You know, and that, I can use this as a point of, like John was saying, he had such a great time sitting up there with his family. It was just his family. It wasn't no other outsider. Because I know he said it was some outsider at his people's house. He was not going to be there. And when I saw him there on Facebook, I said, John said he won't go be there. But then he just clarified the reason why he was there. See, I'm going to tell you something. We don't want to be around nobody that's not right. I'm sorry. We don't want to be. We want to be around people that are right. So listen, grab hold to yourself. Get around more folks that's born again, born again. Because that's where you're going to get your strength from. One scripture said that iron sharpens iron. And as the Bible says, it was all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They became powerful. Listen, I'm almost finished. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. All right, listen. All right, here we go. I'm almost done here. I'm about to shout. Can you hit the organ? Can you hit the organ for me a little bit so I can just take it up another notch? Come on, somebody.
All right, Pastor. Woo! All right. Amen. All right.
But you know, let me tell you something. This is what we say. Look, I want to let me read something to you. It's a thing that we got, you know, when fellowshipping with believers is a rich and privilege. And it is important, it's an important responsibility. It is an important responsibility for us to be able to fellowship one with another. Okay? I mean, when I was fellowshipping with my people in the world, I did worldly things. I enjoyed myself. I ain't gonna lie to y'all and say, oh, I didn't enjoy it. I enjoyed drinking that little bit of, what was it, vodka and juice. Vodka and cranberry juice. It didn't matter what name it was. It was just vodka. I ain't like beer, you know. When I smoked weed, I enjoyed smoking weed. When I did all the other drugs and stuff, I enjoyed. Y'all need to stop saying you didn't like that stuff. You was with your group of people, and you fellowship with them, and you blame them. Well, after you really came back to Christ, you know, you repented and gave yourself back. And you said, well, you know what? I really didn't like all that stuff. But you just lied to yourself, and you lied to the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
You enjoyed every bit of that. I did. I'm not going to tell you that. You know, I enjoyed what I was doing. When I did what I did, I enjoyed it. You know, but you got to get to the place where you enjoy fellowshiping with the believers. I want to get out there. I want to just take me and John, just go out to the fishing pier and go fishing. We ain't got to talk about scriptures all the time. Y'all don't think we got to talk about scripture. I remember somebody came to my house, used to come to our house, one of the ministers that used to be in this church. They came and would come to our house, and the first day, his wife would talk to my wife, you know, and they just talking. He'll come down and sit with me. I'm sitting up there watching The Matrix, and he want to sit up there. I'm sitting up there, and it's at the best part of my movie. All the glass, I got surround sound, all this going on, and he wants to sit up there and ask me about some scripture. I'm like, bro, trying to watch this movie right now. Bro. y'all know been in that situation before where somebody came and you sitting up there, y'all just fellowshipping. You just want to sit there and watch that movie that you've been waiting for, and now you're off from work and you got the opportunity to sit up there and watch that movie. Come on and fellowship with me and get with me, and we can sit up there and watch this movie and say, oh, you know what? Did you see Keanu Reeves when he screwed back like that and just missed the thing like that? Wow, that was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me what the Bible said about Revelation 14:5? No, I don't want to talk about that right now. I want to finish watching my movie. Mm-hmm. If you want to talk about Revelation, let's talk about that on Wednesday night.
Amen.
Let's set up an appointment where we can talk about some other stuff. But today, I want to sit down here with my plate that my wife just made. And I want to sit down here and drink this iced tea and Kool-Aid and just enjoy this movie.
Amen.
Man. Yeah.
So what I'm saying is that we have to get to the place where we are fellowshipping with one another, enjoying the company of one another, and just not, you know, it's not that be always that, you know, Minister David, oh yeah, you got to give us some Charles Stanley scriptures and quotations from Charles Stanley, Joel Osteen, and T.D. Jakes. John, you got to give me something from T.D. Jakes, Sister Portia. You got to get Sarah Shade, Linda. You got to get Joyce Meyer. Every time y'all get together, it's got to be about. No, it don't have to be that. It doesn't have to be. I don't believe Jesus every time that he fellowshiped with his people that he talked about scriptures all the time. No. Sometimes he just talked about fishing.
That's yeah. right.
Sometimes he just talked about, you know what? I got another plan how we can make some more money. I got a plan how we can serve somebody else.
Amen.
But what you got to do? You got to be discreet about what we do. Come on, let's talk about. Let's get a plan together. You know. But this is what we have to do. But it's a privilege, and it is important. All right. Without it, life would no doubt be very lonely and oppressive without fellowshipping. If we can't fellowship with one another, man, life would be tore up. Now, fellowship is important. I'm telling you, on both ends of the spectrum, fellowship is important. Whether you fellowship with unbelievers or believers, it's important. You know, we go to work, you know, I'm so thankful for my job, you know. I am so thankful for my job. I was at work yesterday, and I sat down with one of the ladies that's like 85 years old, and I just told her, I said, you know what? She don't go outside that much. She just sit in the sun. And I just told her, and she just sat there, and she said, you know, Jesse, you know, your smile is just so radiant, you know. And I told her, and I said, ma'am, I said, yours is just as radiant. I said, you look like a little queen sitting down there. And I said, you know what, no matter what, how, when, where, I said, you're a beautiful woman. She just said, you just make me feel so good, Jesse. You know, and I mean, this is what I do, you know, and I just encourage people, and this is part of fellowshipping. Don't always, I didn't sit there and tell her, well, you know what the Bible says in Romans 4:14 and John 13:5, it says this. No, only a few people know I'm a pastor there in this job. Only a few people. Until God tells me, let other people know, then they will know. Not even my supervisor said, oh, yeah, my two supervisors. They said, are you yours? So you're a pastor, huh? I said, yes, ma'am. Yeah. But they don't see my life any different. They see me play. They see me joke. They see me do all this other stuff. You know what I'm saying? And ain't all that deep personality and everything like that. You know?
Amen.
It's a privilege. I say it's a privilege for me to be right there at Harvard's Edge. Now, the Bible frequently encourages and directs believers to fellowship. And that's what it does. And these, I gave you some scriptures. These are scriptures. You can go back and read them. And number one is, by assembling one with another. That's Hebrews 10:25. Forsake not to assemble yourselves together. Forsake not to come together, assembly. You know, it's important that we come together. It's helpful when we can fellowship together. You know, I'm talking about the believer. It's important. It's important that I can get with you, or I can call you up and we can just talk. How many of you would just love to just be able to get on the telephone and just talk to somebody? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all know what they said. No, you know what they said, the brothers and sisters can't fellowship together. But we're gonna fellowship in heaven.
Amen.
That's right.
Why we can't fellowship in church?
Amen.
You see me go out with somebody that ain't my wife, you're gonna sit there and say, we doing something wrong. Why we gotta be doing something wrong? That's my sister.
Mm.
I go out with my sister, I fellowship with my sister, and because don't nobody really know that's my sister, but and they're gonna probably say, oh yeah, you know what? I seen Pastor Jesse out there with a woman. She was dark skinned, medium built. And she was just laughing, she was just all in his face, just laughing. That's my sister. That's my real sister. That's my baby sister Reed. You know what I'm saying? But that's what people do. They see D, they don't know that that's her brother. But, oh, did you see D? David, let me tell you something. What? I saw your wife. You saw my wife. You see what I'm saying? But this is what we got to do. We have to learn to go beyond those barriers and realize that it is important for us to assemble ourselves together and fellowship one with the other.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
We should be fellowshipping every day. Every day.
Amen.
We're in the last day. I need help. I need to know that I got a brother right there, a sister right here. I mean, you know, that little man right there. I need to know. We got one another. You got me? You know, don't say you got me and then, you know, then when things get critical, you gone. You got me? You my sister. You my brother. We fellowshipping. That's number two. Almost done. By cultivating and displaying a gracious spirit towards each other. By cultivating. So what you got to do, when I think about cultivating, I think about just, you know, when we get out there, you know, I did this thing one time. I just wanted to grow some stuff in the yard. So this was back when Donald was, when we was just young. And so over there at Mommy's house, she had a nice fertile backyard. So I didn't know anything because I'm from the city. I don't know anything about planting nothing but seeds. Y'all know what kind of seeds I was planting. They legal now. My mama would come find my seeds underneath my bed. I don't know how she found them, but she always found them. They won't even grow. They look even sprouts, you know. But that's the only thing I cultivated back then because I'm from the city. But, you know, when I met her, you know, and they had that yard and that dog poop in the yard, I realized that dog was fertile. You know what I'm talking about, David? But, you know, and I planted some corn. I planted some cucumbers. I planted some watermelons. I planted some all kinds of stuff in their backyard and stuff. And guess what? It grew. I never could. But what you had to do, you had to take it, do some stuff with it. You just couldn't leave it. You had to cultivate. You had to take it, go out there and till the ground. You had to go out there and plant the seeds down and straighten them out. You had to water. You know, you had to come back and look at it. When I seen them little plants coming up, I was just as happy as can be. You know, and this is what we have to do with fellowship with one another. We have to begin to cultivate ourselves with one another, you know, so that we can grow together, you know, and we can enjoy one another. Stop worrying about what somebody's growth like, you know. I'm an old dude. I'm not like my kids say, my grandkids say, Granddaddy, if you lose your stomach, who are we going to bounce on? That's the thing, you know. I'm trying to get myself in shape, but they don't want me to lose that because that's something that. They, my kids grew up bouncing on it. Grandbabies, they want to bounce on it, you know. Yeah, so they don't want me to get that. And displaying a gracious spirit towards each other. Displaying a gracious spirit. Not mean, hateful. Just saints of God. We get mad at one another. We don't want to speak to one another. And you call yourself a believer? No. Oh, man, let me tell you what they did to me at work. They talk about me so bad, I can't stand them people. I wish that God would kill all of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I pray right now that God will just take them, just wipe them out. You know, brother and sister David Johnson, they just talk about me some kind of bad. You know what? I'm going to pray that God will do something to them. No! What you're going to do is pray that God just, you're going to pray that God give you a spirit of forgiveness and that God will just show forth, put it inside your heart to show even greater love towards one another. That's what Jesus did. Jesus was the greatest when it came down to fellowship and with believers and unbelievers. But I'm talking about believers. He was the greatest because no matter what they did to him, he still was the same. He did not change. Awesome God, man. We say, like, you know the braces that everybody used to wear? Whoop, WWW something, what WWDJ, what would Jesus do? Some of them just had plenty of them on there. I tried to get one, and somebody stole mine. I took it off, laid it down. I think I went back, and my bracelet was gone. I would have given it to him, you know? But that's what we got to do, and you can find that. Go to Ephesians, 4th chapter, verses 1 through 3. And 5th chapter 21, and it'll tell you about this. It's important that we have a gracious spirit towards each other, you know? And don't get mean and hateful, because that's not the spirit of Christ. We already talked about that, the fruit of the spirit. We already talked about that. So I ain't got to go there. Okay, number three is that it's by holy conversion with each other. Holy conversation. Remember I was talking about that? But you got to know that it's the right time to come in with a holy conversation. You can't be talking about no any kind of thing. You know, sometimes you talk about something, everything. Yeah. But we want to get into the habit where we can begin to start talking about different things, you know, concerning some good and wholesome stuff. All right? All right. Christ from the past. Look, Christians in the past, they did it a whole lot different than us. They talk. They always talk. And Christians in the past, they either gonna smite you or they gonna love you. They want the two. They ain't want no middle with them folks. You know what I'm saying? They was gonna love you or they gonna hate you. But the fact of the matter is, they love you. You know. And the thing is that today, because we are in such a digital time, everything is high tech. Everything is fast, you know. I remember before years ago, we used to always talk about the microwave age. Now we're beyond the microwave age. Now we're in the digital age, and everything that's going, you know, if you don't leave it down here on Earth, it's in the cloud. You know, it's in the cloud. I don't want my love towards my brothers and sisters to be in the cloud. I need that to be right here. Amen? I want to be able to fellowship with everybody, you know. I know we got people in New York, we got people in New Jersey, we got people down south, we got people everywhere. I want to be in the fellowship with everybody. I want everybody to feel comfortable fellowshipping with me. Call me sometime. It's okay. I'll accept your calls. But we are so busy now, man. I mean, I'm a busy person too. Don't get me wrong. I will not stand up here and say I'm not. I am a very busy person at times. But I'm getting better. I'm finding to get better. But I will become unbusy. For folks, for my Christian fellow brothers and sisters, I will become unbusy for them. But for other stuff, I need to be busy. You know, because the people in the world, guess what they're doing? They calling me, they trying to get me involved in this and this and that. Matter of fact, somebody called me and said, I got a ticket for you to go to the football game for the Washington Redskins and somebody in December. I'm not going to no football game in no December and sit out there in the cold like I did once before. I love my daughter. Life. She gave me some tickets to go to the Redskins game. That was in December. And my God, we like the froze out there. And my crazy self, I'm going to take pictures. I ain't getting no blood. Man selling blood for $5. Oh, I don't need no blood. I'm good. My hands were like, almost got frostbitten up too. Bug, he froze. He like this. Andre, Antoine, he, all three of us, we stand up there like statues. I'm the only one taking pictures. zooming in video, but we had 100, we had seats at, we right there at the goalpost. I'm looking at Chili just like I'm looking at you. Oh, well, this is my team. I'm so excited. I'm not going. I said, oh, well, not. Now, let's be in the booth like we, like, you know, Bugs Place, John got the booth. I would go again, but, and then on top of that, it's on a Sunday. These are some Christian people, you know, and stuff. Some of them say, some of them are not. The ones giving me tickets to go, they're Christian ministers and stuff. But I'm not leaving my church on Sunday. I'm not going to no football game when I can just watch it after church and feel the same effect. I would be warm, you know, and stuff. But, you know, all right. And scriptures for that would be Malachi 3:16-17. If you want to go back, you know, keep that hard conversation. Holy conversation. He said, you know, it's okay. It's okay to talk some other stuff, but just keep it up. All right. In 5 more minutes, I'll be done. Okay, listen. Here's another one. This was cool, too. By singing with each other. You know that? You know what that does for folks? That's when you sing together, come together, and sing together. It does something to your soul. You know, I don't know. It just do something. When we can come together and sing together, like Minister David be sitting out there, he'd be singing the songs, you know, and stuff, and he could get some of the songs that he'd be singing and stuff, but he had it. You know, but his wife got his back. You see what I'm saying? She got his back. I got you, you know what I'm saying? She's going to come right on in like she did today. He got stuck. He knew the song. He knows the song, but we used to sing that in the choir. You see what I'm saying? But sometimes when we're doing something, we forget, so we need assistance. That's why it's good for us to sing together. It's okay, y'all on Zoom, and we out here in the church, you know, church building. It's okay that we can sound, we can sing. But, and it might echo, you might be a little bit off or something you hear. Because I know when we used to say, when I used to be on my laptop, it indeed be like, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And it'd be like probably like 5 seconds. It'll be from when I be singing and she be singing. But she be going on. She with. But with her, she on point. We ain't got to worry about that. But we singing together. And it does something for us when we do. It draws us closer together. You know, and I believe that fellowshipping, Jesus wanted us to understand that we, by us fellowshipping together, we are going to grow together. Listen, number 5 says, and that's Colossians 3:16. And number 5 is celebrating the Lord's Supper, which we're going to be doing in just a few minutes. And that's 1 Corinthians 10:17. And it's so important that we do that, because the Bible says, often as you do it, you do it in remembrance of me. And, you know, and we used to just do it once a month, like traditional folks did. But then we became untraditional, like always. This is the most untraditional church I ever been in my life. They have communion every Sunday. They feed people. You know, they let people drink coffee while service is going on. I ain't never been to no church like that. You know what I'm saying? We didn't even come out of church like that. So where do we adopt that from? I think it was something that Jesus did. Jesus took and fed them folks, man. He fed people. He fed them. And folks just, he preached to people and he fed them. He taught people and he fed them. He did. He did all that. So we became to the point where we're gonna let God just have His way, but we're gonna serve people in a way that people are not being served, amen, in their communities. So hey, number 6 is by encouraging and helping each other. By encouraging, helping. These are just some pointers that we that. Just felt like that I just had to bring out to, you know, in this fellowship of good believers, because there is so much more in this that we can bring out. But these are just some simple things that we can do that, you know, that I guess really kind of like got to me more so than anything. Okay, encouraging and helping one another. Think about it. How many of you right now, don't raise your hand. Please don't raise your hand. Okay. Be encouraging folks. How many and helping people? How many? I can't help you because we're in a pandemic. You know what I'm saying? I can't. Then we got another. We got the Delta virus out, and now we got the Omicron something virus that's over in South Africa. Then the kids getting all this stuff. Now they got. You expect me to help you? You expect me to help you do anything? You know, we didn't have to worry about that stuff. We realized that the Bible said we have power. After the Holy Ghost come upon you, you will have power. You know, so if when the Holy Ghost gives you come upon you, you got power. Why are you afraid? God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. But we use that as an excuse to not to. But I refuse to. All right. 1 Corinthians 12, that's where it's coming from. 1 Corinthians 12, 26 and 27. Romans 12 and 15. You can read it. I'm not going to read it. 2 Corinthians 9 and 12 and 14. 12 to 14. Those verses talking about encouraging and helping each other. All right? And my last one, I'm getting ready to get out of here. I'm a hoop and holler in a minute. Ooh, Jesus. I thank you right now, God. That's so funny. Okay, number 7. Excuse me, y'all. I was just having a good time. My computer broke. Shoot. I'm going to have myself a good time. Y'all hear me? I'm going to have myself a good time. Shoot. Listen. Now, number 7 is, the 7th one is by praying for each other. Now, this is a good one here. Fellowshipping with the believers by praying for each other. You know, and I know we say, oh, yeah, we pray for one another. We pray for one another, you know. I don't want you to raise your hand. Please don't raise your hand. Do you really think about it in your heart? Are you really praying for one another in your heart? Are you really praying for one another? I mean, are we praying for one another like, man, you know, I know that. Let me see. Hold on. Wait a minute. Let me get some Christ in. Hold on. Wait a minute. Listen, I know that I heard Brother David talking about your body being in pain. Okay. I wanna rally around him, you know what I'm saying? I just wanna rally around my brother. That's my brother, he's my real brother, might as well say because I've been knowing him forever. But you know, I just wanna rally around him, you know, I just want to take and hold him, and I know he's in his car and stuff driving. I just want to get him and just grab him and just pray for him. Because the Bible said, if any sick among you, call for the elders and let them pray. But they got to anoint you and lay hands on you. What happened? We don't do it anymore. Whoa. I told you this high tech stuff, man. We done kind of got like so high tech that we done cut out a whole bunch of stuff in church. But we got to get to the place where we begin to start really praying for one another. And I say praying for one another to the point where we see some results. You know what I'm saying? Ain't nobody hungry anymore. Shoot, ain't nobody homeless. Amen. Nobody's homeless. Ain't nobody in this church starving. Everybody in this church is successful. Shoot. Look at Portia. She came from North Carolina and got 100 jobs. Got her own place, got a car, you know, walked in here with a fur coat on. Good God, I'm like, look, pearls around her neck. You she poor? No, she ain't poor. You know, she came here. Everybody's like, well, what's she doing? You coming back from North Carolina? Look at her. She done came in, she done stepped on it. She started off slow. But once she got her momentum, she kept on going. She never stopped. Kept on going. I'm proud of her, you know. Keep on doing what you're doing. But she's proven the point that, you know, and if she say something to me, she said, you know what? God is blessing me again. Every time she did, God is blessing me again. God is trusting me again. I said, just keep on going. I'm going to keep on praying for you. You know, and that's what we got to do. You know, be happy for one another. When you see God doing something, we got to rejoice. We used to do that. When somebody got saved, we tear the church down. You know, shoot, somebody got healed. Somebody just got blessed real good. They ain't got a whole lot, but they got blessed real good because they got better than what. If you didn't praise God for what was going on in your life, we going to praise him anyway. But we lost that. Because you know what? Somewhere in our life, being in the upper room, somebody creeped out before they got hit with the fire. So, if we don't get hit with the fire, it's going to make us run like crazy. It's going to make us run like crazy. And I be doing stuff that's so radical. My job is like crazy. He looked at me, he said, man, you too low. You got pain. I told him about my pain, my back, my supervisor. He said, you don't need to be climbing on this ladder, pulling that top of that tree off of your back all messed up. I said, I'm good. You getting ready to go get a shot? I'm good. And you have to tell yourself that. You got to tell yourself that over and over. Listen, in my closing, all right, my closing remarks is this. All right. Is that we must never become lax. We must never become lax in our fellowship with other believers. We must never become lax. That means we must never be, oh yeah, we're just 100 guys. No, we can never become lax in the point of our fellowship with other believers. But if we do, we must, now here's the thing, we must examine ourselves. We must examine. That maybe something might be wrong with us. All right? Are we humble? Are we patient? You know? Are we ready to serve others? Do you cultivate opportunities? Do you cultivate spiritual fellowship? Meaning, do you just take and do everything that you can do with your spiritual fellowship? Huh? What about this? Don't worry about if somebody's using you. Don't worry about that. Because at the end of the day, God's going to bless you. We must unite with Christ to enjoy true fellowship with believers or with Christ's people. So that's what we got to do. True fellowship with believers. It comes to our relationship with Christ. And the more we grow, it's like if we go together, we're going to grow together. Amen? That's what's going to happen. If we go together, we're going to grow together. And the thing about it is that we can't leave nobody behind. John, he was in the military, he was in the Marines. Their motto was, don't leave no one behind. You know? And that's what it is. We've seen several movies. I've seen. You know, you don't leave nobody behind, and we can. You know, they took that model in school. Don't leave these kids behind. You know, that's good. But we don't want to leave one another behind. We want to be there for one another. We want to show love. We want to express love, just like we've already talked about down through this message on back to the beginning when we first started doing series messages. You know, is that we want to realize that love covers all. And that's the greatest gift. That's the greatest fellowship there is love. L-O-V-E. Agape love. When you get the phileo love and all that. I love you. I love you in Christ. I'm going to always love you in Christ. Sit there and say, oh yeah, Pastor, I love you. Yeah, I love you more. You know, because I'm going to do more. I'm going to try to do more and more and more. You know, I'm going to try to outdo. I'd be trying to outdo God's love sometimes towards me. You know, I try to give more, and I try to do more, I try to be more, I try to do all of this. But you know what? In the long run, at the end of the day, I can't do it. I just keep trying. I'm going to keep on trying. As long as I keep on trying, guess what? I ain't collecting no dust under my feet. I'm not. I can't afford to. I'm 66 years old. I cannot afford to. You know, only thing I can afford to do is just to keep going forward. I want to sing more. I want to play, you know. Preaching is great. I love preaching. I love teaching. I want to sing. I'm an artist. You know, I am in more ways than one. You know? Great is the Lord, and greatly to the very be praised. I thank God for Jesus. And that's it for me. Thank God. And just pray. Yes. Our Lord, I thank you for what you've done in here today. We thank you, and like in spite of everything that has happened, God, you know, systems. But we thank you because you've done it. You know, you still got us on the TV to where we can see everybody on Zoom. The sound is for good. We just thank you. Thank you for the word that's gone forth, and it's not me, but it's you, God, that have done all of this. We just praise you, God, for in the name of Jesus. And God, I thank you for just your people, God, that listening, and God, that you would just have your way with everyone, oh God. I don't know their needs, but you do know. And Father, even as you have declared, oh God, that that you would enlarge our territory, thank you, God. That you would enlarge our territory as long as we make sacrifices, oh God. As long as we come to you, oh God. You've given us visions, oh God. You've given us dreams, you've given us visions, oh God. You said, write the vision and make it plain. So and that's exactly what we're doing. God, I thank you for this place of worship. Thank you for these people, oh God. Thank you right now, God, for just being able to listen to your word, oh God. And as you declared in Deuteronomy, oh God, that if we hearken to your voice, oh God, if we just listen diligently to what you say, then you would do great and marvelous things for us in Jesus' name. So, God, we thank you for healing to our bodies. I pray right now, God, that you would touch Minister David Johnson's body right now, God, that he would never speak again. That pain is running through his body, oh God, that he will speak victory from this day forth, oh God, that every pain and ailment that's flowing through his body will be binded right now in the name of Jesus. And anyone else that's feeling hurtful pain in their body, we bind it up right now. We put it under our feet according to what the scripture says, under our feet. In Jesus' name, thank you for prosperity today, God, for each and every one, oh God, that's looking for homes, oh God, looking for automobiles, oh God, looking for careers, not just jobs, but looking for careers, oh God. Thank you for businesses, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We speak it now, God, in the name of Jesus, that we will see, begin to see results, oh God, just this month alone, oh God. Thank you for increase in this place of worship, oh God. And Father, we thank you for everything, oh God. You're so good. You're so mighty. You're so wonderful. We give you praise. And we thank you, oh God. And Father, we give you praise right now. Forgive us for anything that we may have done wrong, oh God. As we get ready to partake in this communion, oh God. We want you, God, to just bless the bread, the blood, the wafer, hallelujah, the wafer that represents your body, God, in the name of Jesus. God, even the juice that represents your blood, oh God, and you said it as often as you do, we do it in remembrance of you. In Jesus' name, oh God, we just thank you now, God. We just thank you right now, God. Now we're going to do it right now, God. We're going to lift you up, oh God. And we know, God, is that Pastor did this, oh God, every single day, God, and you extended her life 9 years, oh God. Father, Jesus, we thank you now, Lord Jesus. We thank you for us, God, because everything that we need is in this wafer, in this juice, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And God, as we do it in remembrance of you, oh God. And we thank you for it right now, Jesus. God, bless it right now. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well...